Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Tito Please listeners, it's your girl, Vibes. And as you probably know, HBO just dropped another season of our hot-ass Tito Please specials to your streaming devices. If you haven't seen them yet, start watching, okay? You don't want to be left out of all that sweet-ass water cooler conversation. Do people hang out at water coolers? I don't know. Anyway, the point is, in another special, we wanted to take it back to where it all started and share some of our favorite Two Dope Queens podcast episodes with you. If you're a first-time listener, this is a great place to start. If you're looking for even more hot content, which I know you are, stay tuned because I'm back in the studio making an all-new season of So Many White Guys. You know about that podcast, right? I interview women, people of color, queer people, and then, of course, I throw in a token white guy because they need jobs, too. Okay? All right. Anyway, we back, baby. March 19th. It's on. Until then, enjoy this oh-so-special advice episode with Tig Notaro. We got so many thoughtful questions from listeners, and I like to think that we did a pretty damn good job helping people out. Just think of us as your non-trash Dr. Phil. YQY.
Okay, I was on your Instagram. I saw you posted that wild video of Kim Cattrall slapping the bass and singing with her husband. Tell me more.
Okay, you guys, let me set the scene for you. Interior evening. Kim Cattrall, her husband, Mark.
I read poetry and sonnets, and he plays the upright bass.
She, you know, is into poetry. Who isn't? And then she starts scatting what can only be described as white nonsense.
Yamakipiebo, sedere facebo, in dog Latin, he quoth, uje, suffer, surrey!
He trained years to play the upright bass, and he had to play that with a straight face.
Yeah, I mean, it's so, they're so vulnerable in that video. I do feel like they are kind of happy in this.
Yeah, miserable people don't make asses of themselves like this together.
Not like this.
We just have a good rhythm together, you know? He sort of feels me out, I feel him out, and we go for it.
It's so, yeah.
It's incredible.
I wish more people knew about this clip, and I hope that our contribution and what we're going to get awarded with when we earn a Peabody Award for this podcast.
Or as they say, Peabody.
Yeah, a Peabody, is that we made this clip national. Mm-hmm. For people to enjoy. Hi, it's me, Phoebe Robinson, and I am so happy to be back in the States in the studio with Miss J. Willie, J. Silly, J. Gilly.
Pew, pew, pew. J. Silly, J. Gilly, J. Willie in the house. What's up, listeners?
And we're here with our very favorite kind of show. It's an advice episode. Woohoo! We love doing these shows because it gives us a chance to talk to vous. That's French for you, right?
Yes, vous? Yes, it is. It was vous, and that's like a respectful way to say it.
Vous.
It's nice.
Hey, vous.
And vous, we are extra excited to do this show because we have a very, very special guest in the studio who's answering your questions. Ladies and gentlemen and gender nonconforming individuals.
Oh, my God.
Please welcome Tig Notaro.
Tick, 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 tick.
This is so, I'm so embarrassed.
Why?
Just so much attention on me.
You're like so legendary. We love you. We love your stand-up. We love your show on Mississippi. Tig, we are so excited to have you on this episode. We had a lot of great listeners send in their questions for this very special advice episode. Are you ready?
Real ready.
Let's do it.
Okay. Before we get into it, do you want to like share like your worst piece of advice that you've ever gotten?
Ooh, let's see. The worst piece of advice that I've ever gotten was to continue on with school. And I had no interest. And I feel like I was being suffocated.
Were you in college or was it high school?
Middle school?
Excuse me. Excuse me,
I know we all have a lot of questions.
Excuse me.
I failed three grades and dropped out of high school.
That's tight.
Didn't go to college.
Wow. That's cool.
What grades did you
I failed fail? Eighth grade twice, and then they moved me up to ninth grade, I think, so I wouldn't hurl myself off a building. and then I failed ninth grade, and then I was like, this is enough, and it's mortifying, and I'm just going to head out. And so I did.
I'm going to head out. So did you end after ninth?
Yes, I have a ninth grade education. I actually have a seventh grade education because I failed eighth grade twice and then failed ninth. So I really have a seventh grade education.
I love that it was a joke at first and then it just became a realization.
Yeah. It's truth.
That's funny. Well, the worst piece of advice I've ever received was I remember it was in high school and it was in the ninth grade and some older girls were like talking about sex and they told me to use the pull-out method.
With your penis?
With my own penis. They told me to use the pull-out method on my peener.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's like wild advice.
It's like the worst advice.
It's literally 33 to 63% effective.
Yeah. It's literally 33 to 63 children.
Yeah.
That's what that could be.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
All right, y'all, let's get into this first question.
Woo-hoo! Okay. The first pregunta is from Started From The Middle, Now I'm Here. Okay, the question is, I just got a new high-paying job and I need to give some notice at my current totally toxic office job. How can I make my resignation epic?
Ooh.
Great question. Here's what I said. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to jump in really, really quickly.
Do it.
Get in, get out. I'm going to say, cross your T's, dot your I's. Do the 2 weeks. Do the whole rigmarole, if you will. Because you never know, like, if you need to come back for, like, seconds or something. I say you do it clean and then just, like, go out with your friends and get, like, hammered that night and just enjoy yourself and talk shit about, like, everything that you hated and what made it boo-boo.
I would just be petty. So I would just do, like, I would hide, like, say Carol in accounts payable is always such a bitch on Bagel Friday, you know, and she has, like, her favorite bagels that she wants, and I like quit on a Friday, so I just would like throw out all the bagels that she likes, so she can only have.
You should like go take that to a shelter, like take it to a homeless shelter. Yeah, at least
that's true. Go but just do things where you like hide someone's stapler or like their letter opener. You put it in.
I bet they were doing that before. You know, I bet a lot of staplers got hit. There's probably a lot of staplers and potted plants at the office.
Yep.
But I think it's like, I'm going to believe in Started From The Middle, Now I'm Here, that he or she is not going to go back to this job.
They might need something that you never know. You never know. I think life's funny like that. Like, you never know.
Of course you never know. I mean, we're in the middle of a huge you never know out in the world right now. But if you are leaving a toxic job, that's not who you're going to want a recommendation from.
Yeah.
Here's what I think. Make sure you got everything crossed and dotted and all those things that Jessica was saying. Sure, put a stapler in a plant or don't staple the plant, but
hide a bagel.
Hide a bagel.
Donate a bagel.
Staple a bagel and then throw it in the trash when no one's looking. Just do a weird prank that no one sees.
Do it for
Get
you.
Get it out of your system. Right? Do it for yourself. Just, you know,
yes.
Just yell at the bagel, punch it, staple it, sit on it, and then try and flush it.
Yeah.
Leave someone else to deal with the toilet situation.
Carol.
But what you should do is after you resign, you should sit down and face-to-face tell your superior how toxic the environment was.
Mm-hmm.
Before you leave.
That's lit.
And then also send an email with them on it in CCHR so they can see.
Mm-hmm. When you're direct with somebody,
yeah,
it is the most empowering thing you can do.
Yeah.
If you just go, this, I mean, yes, I love hiding bagels and staplers. But if you just look someone in the eye and you're like, this was epically horrendous.
Yeah. And list your reasons.
That's dope.
And then as soon as you walk out the office, press send.
You're
going to
be doing leprechaun kicks the entire way home.
And now a word from our sponsor.
This message comes from Two Dope Queens sponsor, BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/DopeQueens today to get 10% off your first month.
About 600,000 people go missing every year in the U.S., prompting family members to become amateur detectives. On the trail of one missing person is journalist Tanya Mosley.
Why do you think you hesitated when we first met in telling me the full details about your mother's disappearance?
It's heartbreaking. I didn't want to break your heart.
I'm Kai Wright. Tanya Mosley joins me next time on Notes from America. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Tig, do you want to get this one?
Yeah, of course. I totally know these words. I can read them. It's no big deal. I don't have an education beyond seventh grade, but for sure I've seen and used these words. Maybe not in this order, but here goes. I want to spice things up with my honey and talk dirty to him, but every time we start getting it on, I lose my nerve. What would be a good way to start out and break the ice? Signed, Dirty Mumbles.
Oh, I have so many things I want you to read.
Yeah, that was great. Okay, I love talking dirty. I truly do. I think you just start easy with like, yeah, pound that pussy.
That is not easy. That's 150 miles per hour. Yeah, pound that pussy.
What
is
have
wild.
You ramped things up to?
It's wild. Yeah, and then you thought about it. Pound that pussy.
I feel like you've now ramped it up to describe in detail how you will murder me and where you're going to hide the body.
And it's also like, I imagine it's like you have just got done with a date. He walks you to your front porch.
I have
you
a
kiss.
Porch?
I don't
cool.
know.
That's cool. I like
I'm trying
porch.
To like help. You guys lean in to kiss and it's your first kiss. You pull back out and you look him in the eye and you say, yeah, pound that pussy.
Okay. First of all, this wouldn't be a first date. This is her honey.
Oh, that's true.
So I'm assuming they've
yeah,
like.
Yeah, but she might move really fast emotionally.
Okay. Maybe don't start with PTP. Maybe something like.
How about like I'm bad at it. It right. makes me uncomfortable.
Well, now I feel like all my stuff
I'm
is hard.
Well, I'm like, yeah, lick it, lick it there,
lick it there. Is that a stamp?
This is me off the top of my head. Lick it there.
Lick it there. Okay.
Do that to it.
Okay. No. Or
do yeah. do that
what,
to it.
What if she said you feel good in my pussy?
Whoa, you are
good?
Really good at it.
Is that
yeah,
better?
He better be in there, though.
Right. You can't say
he better be in there. Don't take this Dirty Mumbles and think you can just say that.
Yeah Dirty Mumbles, here's the thing. I feel like, what would it hurt to just, once again, have an honest conversation and be like, you know what I'm kind of curious to do is to
aww,
say.
That's cute. That's like in
I
a card.
Oh, write that in the card?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like
a birthday card.
Like the card is already printed out that says happy 50th birthday. But then you're like, here's the thing. But sometimes when you allow, I think, important or sexual moments to be vulnerable or mm-hmm. have humor around them, mm-hmm. it can break the ice.
Yeah, yeah. So what if you just say, oh, that feels really good?
Oh,
keep
I do
doing
that.
That.
I
keep
do
doing
that.
That.
I can do that.
Don't stop.
Or
yeah.
what about, oh, what are you doing? oh, excuse me. What about a bunch of that?
That's funny.
Oh, woo! Woo! Yeah, boy. do you dirty talk, Tig?
No, I guess you'd have to be married to me to find out.
That's hot.
That's a yes. That's
hot.
A yes.
That's hot.
That's cool. That's not.
That's really
listen,
hot.
Listen. Anytime someone goes, hey, listen.
Yeah.
Hey,
you know.
Hey, listen. Oh, I'm married.
I've never actually had a sexual experience in my life.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
I love that you're brave to share that.
Yes. Yeah, my wife and I connected based on a handshake and feeling like we'd be excellent partners in life, financially, travel companions, all of it.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
Well, next question. How do I deal with a partner who's having a hard time not being jelly of my career success? It seems like the more I succeed, the more envious and distant they become, even though I'm just like trying to follow my dreams and love them. From Boss at a Loss.
I would like to step in here on this one.
Go for it.
Because I have personal experience because my last relation fell apart. Because, you know, when you have a podcast on public radio, okay?
Yeah, man.
You're practically Kerry Washington. So
Kerry's like, she's like listening.
No, but seriously, I think first of all, we need to figure out a few things. We need, if this is like a relationship that's a year under, peace the fuck out, not worth your time. Just drop out, it's fine. If this is a long-term relationship where you're married or you're engaged, and there are so many other things that are really great about this person and you really want to try and make this work. Because I think couples, each person is going to have moments when they're succeeding. The other partner may feel like they're not. I think this would be a great opportunity to just be like, let's have a come to Jesus talk and like really just talk about it and just be like, well, I maybe feel like I'm behind or I don't want to be alone in this. Like I want us to talk through it or like go to therapy. I think if this is really a person that you truly love and you guys have a really wonderful relationship and this is like a new thing and it's not like this is a running theme, like they're jealous if you get attention from people on the street, they're jealous if you get like the last, you know, cappuccino at Starbucks, you know, or something. If
you said it's the last one?
Yes.
Attention. Starbucks will no longer be selling cappuccinos after this one last one.
Sorry for the loss. If you want, you can go to the Starbucks across the street.
No, it's all,
it's all Starbucks.
It's all Starbucks.
What
every continent, they're yes. no longer selling yeah. cappuccinos.
You know how in the movie.
And your partner got the last one.
Wild. Yeah, you know how in the movie Children of the Men, like there
how
were no more babies
born? How does a relationship come back yeah. from that?
This is the last
but
cappuccino.
But you know, there's one person somewhere that actually can do that last cappuccino. And it's that fucking dude from Children of Men's yeah. job to yeah. hide that black person who can do that cappuccino.
Okay, that was a terrible example, but you get what I mean. If this person has a history
of being... I thought
it was
excellent.
Oh, thanks.
Excellent.
Okay. But I think if this person has a history of being jealous with you, then I think it's time to cut your losses. But outside of that, I think it's better to try and work on it and get through this low and try to get back to another relationship high.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I like that too. That seems concise.
Here's the thing is, if you love somebody and you're seeing them succeed, I can't think of anything better. Mm-hmm. This person they are also a little person out in the world like you are,
uh-huh.
trying to make their way. And what you want them to not
mm-hmm.
make their way in the world? I don't understand. There's something so deeply rooted there that has nothing to do with jealousy of, you know, they clearly don't feel in control or...
If you think it's internal.
Yeah,
like
it's
personal.
Like it's the feeling of not being
they,
worthy
they don't
or something.
Feel mm-hmm. powerful or like they don't have control for some reason within that dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
And because it really makes no sense to see somebody that you love, you've fallen for them and you're together and then they're... Yeah. I mean, you have to... Put all of that aside and ask, I think, why they might not be feeling any sort of control or power within the relationship. Because everyone should feel like they can and do and will assert power and control because you should to a healthy degree, but they're clearly not feeling it. And that is what I think should be discussed.
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing you brought up where like things like jealousy or anger or sadness and how we associate those negative emotions with not needing to have them. Mm-hmm. When really, when channeled correctly, they can be awesome motivators and
they're
whole parts of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you guys where it's like, oh, looking internally, like, why do I feel this way? What am I not doing to have myself feel like I'm like accomplishing something too? What brings me joy?
I found one I want to ask.
Do this it, Ms. Nubity.
This is intense.
Okay. Oh, my gosh.
So here's a question from Too Queer for This. I have been with my partner for over 6 years. A few months ago, I found out that they were cheating on me. What the fuck? That's awful. I'm sorry, boo. After talking about it, seeing a therapist, acting like an adult or whatever, my partner tells me that they want to create a polyamorous relationship with this person and me. LOL, right? Tig, Phoebe, Miss J. Willie, how do I clap back? Signed, Too Queer for This. Oh my gosh, that's rough.
Sorry you got cheated on.
Oof.
That sucks.
Terrible.
Big time. Yeah. You trusted that person and then they betrayed you. And it's great that you're going to therapy because that's really important and that's a good way to heal and move on.
Yeah, I think you're well within your right to be like, you know what? This is not the relationship I signed up for. I'm so happy you discovered your most authentic self, but I think it's time for me to go and find someone who is going to go into a relationship honoring what we said we wanted our relationship to be.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's like, if you want to do it, do it. If you don't, it's so, so okay for you to be like, nah, dog. But I guess you're asking about how to clap back. I mean, so you're trying to be like, hail to the nah. That's what it seems like, right?
I'd say put a stapler in their plant.
Staple them up. Staple
and
them up.
And then just head out.
Just like Carol.
Yeah. Yeah. And just leave them questioning, like, why is there a stapler in my plant? And how come they never came home again?
I mean, I personally don't think this person needs to clap back. I don't even think it's about taking the high road. I think it's just about, like, I think you're in a place where you know this is not the relationship for you. It also feels like for this partner, like what you guys had wasn't for them. So I think it's best to just like moveon.org. Like you don't need to,
I mean, to
you know,
be like, I'm with this person and we'd like you to join us.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, like you said, it's not the relationship that you signed up for.
Yeah.
And you sound like an afterthought to this person.
Yeah. And
you should be the priority, which is not, I'm not saying with them because that's done.
Yeah.
But in a relationship that you've signed up for, you should be the priority and that's what you should seek out.
That's dope.
Best of luck, boo.
Yeah. Good luck to Queer for This. Okay, cuties, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a minute.
Carnegie Hall is one of the most famous concert venues in the world.
The first time I walked on the stage, I felt like my feet were moving, but they were not touching the floor.
Join us for If This Hall Could Talk, a new podcast that explores the history of this iconic landmark through the unique items in its archives. I'm your host, Jessica Vosk, and together we'll explore how the past shaped the culture we live in today. Listen to If This Hall Could Talk wherever you get podcasts.
Okay, we're back. All right, I'll do the next one. I used to be an elite athlete. I even went to the Olympics in 2016. That's amazing. But now I struggle to find a purpose to get up for in the mornings. You all do what you love. Has it ever all been taken away from you at one point in your careers? How did you feel? And where do I go from here? Signed, Apathetic Athlete.
Ooh, first of all, congratulations on being at the Olympics. That is such a rare achievement. I am blown away by that information to start. And two, this is a hard question for me to answer because, you know, I think all three of us are lucky to do comedy, which is something you can really do until your last day on earth, if you want.
Until you turn Don Rickles.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
Yep. Seriously.
Yeah, we found a thing that can stay with us. And so I can't imagine what it's like to, because you train your whole life to be an athlete, mm-hmm. and then at like 30, 31, 32, it's like—
You age out.
Yeah, you age out. So I guess my thing would be, what are some other things that you enjoy doing like around the house? Like for a while I did TV recaps and it was really just because I loved watching TV. So then I just found a job where I got paid to watch TV and then like summarize episodes for people. So it could be something like that. If you really like going to concerts, maybe start taking pictures at concerts or some, just whatever is like fun for you. Try and remember that fun stuff and see if that could turn into something more than just a hobby, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I think you did an incredible thing, and I think it's only like your second chapter. But I do think that you have a whole book, and I think you are whole and full and capable of new and exciting things that haven't even come to the forefront of your brain yet. I say you can be in a fun part of your life where you just try everything. And even if it's like sometimes, let's say you wake up one day and you like don't even want to get out of bed, like let that be what the day is and allow that to be okay. You're like, you went to the Olympics in 2016. If there's a day where you don't want to get up, that's fine. If there's a day you want to go for a walk, that's fine. But also start taking yourself out and going to hang out with people. Try Dungeons and Dragons. Try The Sims.
So
try getting out
don't
there.
Have the first thing be D&D. That's
do
trash.
It. I just did it for the first time a couple weeks ago and I fucking loved it. Whatever it is, like there are things out there for you. And I wish you the best of luck. But just like sort of respect your journey and you know, good luck. But I think you're whole and full.
I'm behind everything everyone has said. And I feel like one of the most exciting things that you can maybe do is to pass on your talents to a younger generation and help be a mentor and maybe find some kids that want to go to the Olympics or whatever sport you were doing, even if they don't want to go to the Olympics. Or help out with the Special Olympics or do something where you can kind of pass the torch and see your dream continue on. But I still think you should find other hobbies and do Dungeons and Dragons. Why not? But how cool to see other people reaching their goals and succeeding in a field or sport that you excelled in and just keep it going and have a part of you continuing on through them.
I love that. That's so cute.
You're so good at advice.
Oh, guys.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah. I didn't even think of that, but that's really good to just kind of like stay within the Olympic family. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's truly nice. Like, what is better than the Special Olympics?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
nothing.
Nothing. And I mean, it makes me feel like, why am I not?
They don't have the comedy Olympics like that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Why am I not helping out at the Special Olympics?
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like
that seems amazing.
That would be the best day of my life.
Yep. Hey, queens. I got a hell of a boy dilemma. So about 2 months ago, I started talking to a guy I had a crush on, and then a few days later, I shattered my foot. This guy has been a champ for sticking with me through surgery and a long recovery. And now that I'm 2 weeks away from walking, I'm feeling better, and I'm able to do more on my own, he's been in such a bad mood. I think he's pissed that I don't need him as much, and honestly, his company is hard to stand now that he's acting that way. I can see in his face that he's annoyed when I carry my own drink to the couch. I liked hanging with him, but I'm a really independent woman, and I need to get back to doing things on my own. What should I do? P.S., y'all, the sex is off the chain, even with a super broken foot. Signed, Foot and Heart Breaker.
Okay, so basically, the dilemma here is the dick is on point.
The D is on P. That's
and,
it.
Right. And she normally, if the dick was trash, she'd be like, bye, you're a loser. But this is like the best orgasms of her life. Yeah. So she's like, maybe I should like, you know, get a mortgage with him, even though he's controlling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I think you got to get out of there. That doesn't sound good.
You're in a light misery situation.
Yeah.
I do think it's worth, you know, I come back to this in our advice episodes. I think it's worth having a conversation. No.
Not when someone's being controlling like that. That is a red flag to get out of there. Abort mish, in my opinion.
I don't think it hurts to have an initial conversation, but if they look at you like, this is insane, then they're not wanting to see you at your best. They should want you to be well and thriving. But I think everything's worth an initial conversation.
Yeah. But if they're like wild, like shut it down.
Yeah. If it's like Kathy Bates, you're like.
Yeah. No lay misery.
Yeah. Run out.
Standing by the door with an axe.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wait till your foot is right, though, to bring it up in case you need to make
wait
a quick
till you can run.
Just wait.
Yeah, call, have a lift waiting for you outside.
You don't want to hobble off and then fall, face plant, and then get drugged back into the house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You don't want that.
Okay, next question. Okay, so Tig, this is a question especially for you. It goes, Tig, how do I find lesbians to hook up with? Where are the lesbians? In all caps, where are they? But like not in a creepy, I'm going to be on SVU kind of way. Signed, too queer to function.
Well, first of all, I have no idea where you live.
Right.
I mean, like, where? Right. I don't know. I don't know if you're like in the backwoods somewhere. I don't know if you're in New York City. I don't know anything about you except you want to hook up. Here's the problem with me. I was never somebody that just hooked up. I remember I kissed somebody one time just so I could leave.
Explain.
Wait, what?
What?
I went out with somebody and I realized I wasn't into them and they were really, you know, whining and dining me. And I think it was really before I did stand up, before I had more confidence. And I was just younger and it would never happen now. If I didn't like somebody, I would just be like, this isn't, you know, it's nice meeting you, whatever, and be honest and leave. But I was in such a panic. I mean, this person was reading my tarot cards. They were playing guitar for me.
This date is wild.
I was just like, what is that? I was just, my body language was in the corner of the couch. Just how I was trying to figure out how to get out of the building. And so I just decided I'm just going to go ahead and kiss this person and then leave.
But don't you think that was like a mixed signal?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
It wasn't the smartest move.
I'm saying I wasn't direct at that time.
We have to respect the journey of when you were
young.
Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
But I've never been somebody that hooked up. I was always in relationships. And I feel like to meet like-minded people, I mean, you're going to have to figure out places where they're going to be. I mean, obviously, they're gay bars, I guess. But I really... Hook up sounds like you want to just get naked with somebody, and I don't know where to find that.
You've never smashed and dashed?
No. Mm. No, I have not.
Yeah.
Okay. I haven't either.
Do you have
like you
seem a little
like Cicely Tyson in all your wisdom right now, thinking about what you've been through or what you've seen.
If there's somebody out there that I'm forgetting, please let me know. But I really do not think I have that history. I think I've just been in relationships.
That's great.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but I feel like it's not good for
it's
this
you.
Advice.
It's fine.
Because I don't know where you live and I don't know how to just hook up with people.
I think your idea of just going to places where people are mingling, like a house party or bar, I think is... I honestly
bowling
feel like,
alley.
Yeah.
I feel like it is.
Arcade, local bowling alley.
Go to the arcade. Go pony rides. you know, go to the petting zoo. What interests you? That's where the people are.
I mean, I met my boyfriend at a U2 concert. So,
oh, I haven't heard the story.
That was a read because I just told her last
night. She just got dragged. Her body's outside in the street.
It was a 20-minute story because I was just, you know, having fun.
I told you my love story.
It was so cute.
We all shared. It was cute.
Aww, you guys wish you were there.
Tick Tick, thank you so much for being here.
It was an honor. I love you guys so much. And I'm excited for our friendship moving forward.
We're so lucky to have you.
Yeah, you're the best. Guys, also be sure to check out our previous advice episodes, especially the one from last Valentine's Day with Jessica's mom, Maria, because it is hashtag Black Girl Magic. Okay, thanks for listening. And don't forget, subscribe to our show. I mean, what are you doing?
What are you doing? And you know what? Follow us on Twitter. CDG.
YQY.
AAA.
That was perfect.
Get ready for some scatting.
Oh, hanging with my husband. I read the poetry.